WDAE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. More than 200 vehicle crashes in Virginia Sunday afternoon. In Kansas, over 1,000 cars stranded on the road after snowfall trapped them on the interstate. The weather system that brought snow and ice to the lower Midwest and plains is now over the East Coast, including Washington, D.C. ABC Stephen Portnoy says even though it's a snow day there for most federal workers, those in Congress have an important job to do.
Members of the House and Senate will traipse through the snow as they make their way to the joint session. The process will have Vice President Harris overseeing the count and announcing that Donald Trump has defeated her. It's a duty Al Gore similarly performed after his loss to George W. Bush 24 years ago. Congress passed the Electoral Count Reform Act in 2022 to clarify the vice president's role is strictly ministerial. She has no power to set aside a state's electoral votes.
Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau is set to speak less than an hour from now. Most expect him to announce he is stepping down. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. One person has been identified from the active triple homicide investigation in New Lisbon. The deceased female adult is 33-year-old Elizabeth Kolba. The names of the two young girls who were killed are not being released, but the New Lisbon Police Department identified their ages as 12 and 13. A California man has apologized for his connection to a 15-year-old girl who fatally shot a teacher and a fellow student at Abundant Life Christian School in Madison. Alexander Paffendorf told a judge in San Diego that he would accept the consequences of his actions without explaining his precise role. Authorities say he told FBI agents that he messaged the shooter about attacking a government building. He has not been charged with a crime, but is under investigation. He expressed regret after the judge kept an order to confiscate his guns and ammunition in effect until April 4th. The Richland Center City Clerk's Office has released an update on the current status of candidate filings for the upcoming spring election. Four residents have filed to run for alderperson in the city of Richland Center. They are incumbent Karen Tepley in District 1, Rachel Schultz in District 2, incumbent Melanie Walters in District 3, and incumbent Steve Downs in District 4. Incumbent alderperson in District 2, Mark Chambers, has filed notification of non-candidacy. Eligible residents who wish to run for office have until Tuesday at 5 p.m. to register for ballot access in the spring 2025 election. The necessary paperwork for candidacy can be obtained from the city clerk's office or downloaded from the city website. For additional information or assistance, contact the city clerk's office at 608-647-3466. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Packers fall to Chicago. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Nearly 78,000 fans in 15-degree temperatures watch the Chicago Bears beat the Packers 24-22 at Lambeau Field. Packers quarterback Jordan Love had to leave the game before halftime after injuring his right elbow.
I landed on it on the ground, I think. And yeah, just kind of pretty much lost all feeling in my hand and was pretty much just went numb.
Wide receiver Christian Watson carted off the field with a serious knee injury. Interim head coach Thomas Brown says the Bears were overdue to get a W.
First time we won a game in 10 games. First time we beat these cats in 11 tries. A lot to play for, and no better feeling than Cairo having a chance to come on the field. Great job by our field goal team to protect. It was perfect execution, drilled it, right, game over.
So the Packers finished the regular season 11-6. They'll face the 14-3 Eagles in Philly on Sunday at 3:30. NBA, Bucks basketball tonight. The Bucks take on the Raptors in Toronto. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, highs in the mid-20s. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low near 10. Back to the mid-20s for your Tuesday. For Wednesday, partly sunny, a high near 19. And we'll drop into the single digits Wednesday night. Thursday, mostly sunny and a high near 26.
Currently, 17 degrees.
The Todd Alba Show.
What's going on in Washington today as we move into 2025? Have your antenna up. Don't rely on all the media sources. Just your own wisdom, your own heart, your own gut. Listen to what they're saying about our friends and neighbors and family. Because we innately know these people that we live with every day in our communities. Don't allow words and thoughts to tear us apart. Hold fast to that which we know, which is good.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Earl Ingram.
The Republicans and Donald Trump want to impose tariffs. They say it's going to bring in $2.7 trillion.
That's what they say when they're trying to justify a tax reduction. Those broad tariffs are not good for the average American.
You know, Sandy, I'm not a guy that knows anything about calculus and any of those things, but I do know how to add and subtract. They're adding to the national debt.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I am live from Madison and welcome singer-songwriter Katie Scullin into the studio. Then Matt Miller and I discuss award season and 2025 upcoming movies. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Buck, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call. You can text. The number is the same. It's 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We have a very, very busy show coming up for you. Governor Evers would like to see Wisconsin residents have a say in referenda. There are other states that do that, Greg Bach.
I think like half of them already do that.
Yes, many, many states do that. And Governor Evers would like to see Wisconsin residents have a little say about what gets on the ballot. Of course, Popcorn King Robin Voss has some thoughts about that.
Yeah.
Shouldn't surprise anyone. We'll be talking about that after the 10:30 news, the citizen referendums. Of course, the flags are flying at half staff today and will be throughout the month. Not everyone is happy about that. I'll let you guess who. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. Next hour, this is something that I think Greg has kind of flown under the radar a little bit.
Yes.
If you're going to be traveling and you're going to be traveling overseas. It was not intentional, actually. If you're going to be traveling, and especially overseas, and not just overseas, but within the country, there have been some changes, and you're going to need the correct documentation. So we will be kicking that around after 11 o'clock. We have an update on the boat stuck at Bradford Beach. We finally know who that boat belongs to.
Would you say we put a face to a McBoaty face?
Oh. Look at you. They're looking for a little help, apparently, the owners of that boat that's been stuck there for well over a month. After the 11:30 news, the Golden Globes were last night. We will take our look at the rundown of the winners and highlight some of the speeches. And then we will wrap it up, as we always do, with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today, it's the High and Dry edition. If you ever have a thing that you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at Jane Says, JaneSays. Jane Says at civicmedia.us. Going to start off the show today, though. It is January 6th. It is the four-year anniversary of the attack at the U.S. Capitol. According to some, it was a day of love, Greg Bach. A day of love, not necessarily from some of the officers who were defending our lawmakers and our Capitol. Aquilino Gunnell, who was one of the officers, one of the Capitol Police officers protecting us that day, he has an article in the Bulwark today called, and the headline reads, "I was nearly killed on January 6th. 4 years later, I feel betrayed all over again. The people whose lives I protected sided with my attackers, but they weren't the only ones who let me down." I don't know about you, but I watched all of it unfold live on television.
I did as well. I was working at I was working at the barber shop, and it was a quiet day, and I was watching it happen, and all of a sudden I'm seeing people rushing the stairs and fires being lit and guns going off. Or I remember standing up and saying to my coworkers, something really wrong is happening right now. And it was absolutely tragic to watch. And it's one of those moments. It's a JFK September 11th. Where were you on January 6th? Did you watch it happen? Did you hear? Well, how did you hear about it?
I will never forget those images.
Yeah.
And if you have someone in your family circle who still maintains that it was nothing, it was a blip. I highly encourage you to pull up some of the video from that day and look at what was happening with our Capitol Police officers and the other officers who were called in to help. It was horrific. We had rioters attacking police officers with flagpoles.
Yeah.
If you saw any of the attack on, they pulled them out into the crowd, beating them on the ground. The officer that Pat Kreitlow had on his show, who's unfortunately named escaped me right now.
I know who you're talking about too. He's written a book, and he did a tour about it. And I think about the officer who was being crushed by
the door
and them saying push and push and take his helmet. And it was, and the bravery of the other officer who led the traitors. They're traitors. They're insurrectionists. They're not citizens to me. They're traitors away from Republicans and Democrats who we don't know what would have happened had they been discovered.
They had a noose on the front lawn.
Yeah. They were demanding to execute the sitting vice president at the time. I mean, we could go on and on and on. There is no version of the story that makes them look like fun loving patriotic tourists who are just taking in the sights that day. This was a mob of violent, armed traitors who walked into the building because they were upset that they didn't get their way.
Well, and it was encouraged by the former president.
Yes.
We had 2 months leading up to this of, it was stolen. It was stolen. There was no evidence that it had been stolen. There were 60 court cases that they lost.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, and I will say this, Greg, I do think that there were some people who did not go into the Capitol, who did not attack our police officers. There were certainly some people there who were not violent, but the core of them, we're talking about 1,800 people.
I that's where I'll disagree with you. I don't care what their intentions were. They attended, they were there, they walked in. When you are standing around people screaming and yelling, doing that, trying to cause violence, and you're a part, and you are in it, You are as culpable as the rest of them. You can't. I do not believe you say, well, I didn't know. Well, if you didn't know, then you shouldn't have gone in. I mean, we have a sitting congressman from this state who was there. He didn't go to the Capitol. That is very proven. But
are you talking about Derek?
Derek Van Orden. Yeah, Derek Van Orden. He DVO was there, and I find him to be just as culpable and as much of a traitor as the rest of them. So I do not accept what their intentions were. They were there, and this really, really angers me because, and we talked about this today on Pat's show when you were on. By the way, Jane's always on Pat's show at the end on Mondays. Tune in. This is coming from these people who are revisioning the history here. These are coming from the people who support the blue, back the blue. They are all for the cops. Absolutely, without doubt, pro-cop.
Yes.
But
yes,
when it comes to these individuals who are nearly killed and to the officers who died as a result of this traitorous event, I don't know, man. I don't know. Oh, all of a sudden, the blue isn't worth your support? It's these people in camo who are playing Weekend Warrior with their guns and their flagpoles. They're the ones who are...
They're
the patriots and not the ones who are laying down their lives and putting themselves in harm's way to save people. That's good. All right, cool. Just so we have that down as an argument. Great.
John Kay on the live stream says, I was watching from home while I worked, and I felt the same as I felt on 9/11. Yeah. I hear you, John. It was surreal. And I kept saying to myself, where is all the help? Where is the help?
Yeah.
And of course, the backers of Donald Trump will say, well, that was Nancy Pelosi's responsibility.
No,
it wasn't.
No,
it actually was not.
And that's been proven time and time again. There's one man who should have done something and he didn't. He sat in his office, watched it on television
for hours,
was enjoying it because he felt like he was getting his way. And he felt like he didn't. And it was like 3 hours later, he goes to the Rose Garden and makes some cockamamie speech. We love you. Go home. Traitor. Just absolute. God, I want to swear so bad right now, Jane, but I'm not going to. I'm not going to, but it's just, it's infuriating. And it also, like, the world watched this. This, and it's different than 9/11, because when 9/11 happened, this was an attack. This was a terrorist attack from overseas.
From outside.
Nothing.
From outside.
The call came from inside the house, and the whole world got to watch this happen. In America, where we're supposed to be so strong and so powerful, it was just absolutely mind-blowing to witness. And for a moment, I thought, oh, of course we'll be united on this one. We know who the perpetrators are.
The bad guys are, yeah.
Not so much if you ask the elected officials who were there that day.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, Greg, because Tom Dreisbach on Twitter has a whole series of what our Republican lawmakers said in the immediate aftermath of January 6th.
Yep.
This is within the first 2 days.
Yeah.
Because as you'll remember, Kevin McCarthy then, after what, 4 days, flew down to Mar-a-Lago and completely rehabilitated Donald Trump.
Yep.
And brought him back to life.
Yes.
This is what John Thune said, who is now Senate Majority Leader, about January 6th. A shrine to democracy for our country and the world was overrun by violent extremists seeking to overturn an election. We must hold those responsible to account. Senator John Marasso, the violence and destruction have no place in our republic. It must end now. Mitch McConnell, January 6th was a disgrace. American citizens attacked their own government. They used terrorism to try to stop a specific piece of domestic business they did not like. Senator Marsha Blackburn, these actions at the U.S. Capitol by protesters are truly despicable and unacceptable. While I am safe and sheltering in place, these protests are prohibiting us from doing our constitutional duty. I condemn them in the strongest possible terms. We are a nation of laws. Yeah, maybe not so much, Marsha.
Yeah, I'm watching. Like, we have news running in the studio at all times at Radio Park, and I'm watching footage right now of people using nightsticks and shields from the cops to break the windows of the Capitol. Spell out for me where Love Fest begins. Spell out to me this was a tour and not an attack.
Were you watching what happens on January 6th? What do you think about where we are now? 855-752-4842. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
From the center, WRCE.
You're an organ donor, right? Here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. heroicdeed.com.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In November 2022, Michigan voters passed a constitutional amendment enshrining voting protections and expanding ballot access. After the legislature implemented the voters' directive, GOP legislators sued, claiming that only the legislature could make such changes. Proposition 2 mandated 9 days of early voting, protections for voters and election workers from harassment, and a tracking system for absentee ballots. It allowed for the funding of secure drop boxes and the counting of military and overseas ballots if postmarked by Election Day, and several other reforms. Conjuring the independent state legislature theory, which argues that the U.S. Constitution allows only legislatures to control election law, 11 Michigan GOP legislators sued. On December 20th, the Federal Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals affirmed the lower court's denial of the Michigan legislators' claim. But importantly, it did so saying that while the individual legislators had no standing to bring the case, a full legislature could, leaving the door open a crack. The U.S. Supreme Court mostly dismissed the theory in 2023's Moore v. Harper case, but Justices Thomas, Gorsuch, and Alito appear to be all in on the theory. For the moment, the pro-voter reforms in Michigan are safe, but be watching for the independent state legislature theory to pop up again soon. We have the decision at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and the Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call or you can text. It's the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and on the platform the Job of the Musk continues to actively ruin. You can also text or call via the Civic Media app. It's absolutely free if you haven't downloaded it yet. Go to wherever you get your apps and look for the Civic Media app. Download it. Again, it is absolutely free. Today is the fourth anniversary of the January 6th attack at the U.S. Capitol, and we were just taking your comments and talking about their Republicans now trying to rewrite history and essentially say it was a day of love and these are patriots, and Donald Trump has already said he's going to pardon all these people who attacked Capitol police officers. I am still astonished by this. I am still astonished that it's on videotape. We've seen it. I watched it live, and yet they continue to maintain this alternate reality. Thanks a lot, Kellyanne Conway, that it was not, that this did not happen. Gene from Eau Claire is on the line. Good morning, Gene. Thank you so much for joining us. What did you want to say?
Well, thank you so much for covering this. I really appreciate it. This is the most significant day that I've ever seen, except for, you know, the 9/11 and that. But this is comparable as far as the assault and the attack on our democracy. And then the guy that caused the attack, who was mainly inviting people there, you know, for the day, and you know, we're going to the Capitol. I can still hear him. We're going to the Capitol. You know, and I mean, he's nuts. And it's like all these people, and then watching, and I was watching from different sources because I had on internet, and then I had on local television, and I had cable station. And it was like, you know, so they were saying, oh, it was just one station covering. It was all different news sources covering it. And it was unbelievable. And then the attack on the rule of law. I mean, we've been waiting forever to see this guy get his comings, the rule of law. We're up the creek without a paddle. If you said, how are we today? We're up the creek without a paddle, but we still cannot let people forget, because this is so significant. And the way they're attacking our schools, you know, all of our public institutions, I've said from day one that other countries or anybody's not going to attack us from the sky. They're going to attack our institutions, and they're going to attack from within. And we got Ramaswamy and the other guy there, and they don't even belong there.
Yeah.
Yeah, they sure don't, Gene. Thank you. Nobody elected Vivek Ramaswamy or Elon Musk, as far as I'm aware.
Yeah.
And DOGE isn't even an official government program.
Yeah.
Right?
No, it's, I mean, it's not full, it's not a funded, department yet.
Yet. Nancy from Wausau is on the line. Thank you for joining us, Nancy. What did you want to say?
Well, I was so glad that you brought it up about these people that are backing the blue. You know, regardless of what party you belong to, if you're backing the blue and then you're backing what happened there. And I wonder, I see so many of our law enforcement who also back Donald Trump. And you know, if he gets into office, when he gets into office,
yeah.
And yeah. What if he, you know, pardons all these insurrectionists? How does that make them feel about their fallen comrades? Did their lives not matter?
Well, and that's a question, Nancy, that I think about all the time. It's like you want a certain respect from the community. You, in some ways, you demand respect from the community. And when we say something like, well, what about these individuals who gave their bodies and their lives to protect democracy in Washington, D.C.? There's never an answer because they have to face their own hypocrisy and they don't want to do that, whether they are a police officer or not. The people who back the blue but also think these insurrectionists are just tourists, they can't deal with their own hypocrisy. They just cannot. And
what? Go ahead, Greg.
I was just going to say, and we can never forget this ever, because this is the most violent example of Trumpianism and the most violent example of the hypocrisy that they just absolutely support.
Well, and what I think is especially dangerous about this, Nancy, too, is if he pardons all these guys and the Proud Boys and the 1%ers and all of those guys, that gives him his own militia.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That essentially gives him his own personal Donald Trump militia who he can send out to wherever he wants. And apparently they'll be pardoned no matter what they do. That's what is so, so dangerous about this.
And even if he doesn't do that, these individuals, over 1,000 of them, are going to walk around this country with a pardon in their back pocket, thinking they can walk into any store they want, say anything they'd like, and you have to deal with it because the president said I could. This is, from a funny aspect, they're going to be insufferable. From a terrible aspect, this is pardoning traitors, period. There is no argument.
Really appreciate you calling, Nancy. Thank you so much for listening as well. We've got time for one more before we go to the break. Jake from Milwaukee, thank you for your patience. Thank you for joining us. What did you want to say?
Yeah, right now the six was horrible, but right now it's just moot. I mean, fact is we're going to have to start, like, really fighting. A meme on Blue Sky or whatever isn't going to stop some of the stuff that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest, it's going to be bad, and it's going to go fast. The most vulnerable are already being attacked. LGBT, you know, sex workers, all those people in red states are going to be doxxed heavily.
Yeah.
Migrants are going to be put into camps. I mean, this is going to be bad. Conventional wisdom, you have to throw out the window. So, yes, January 6th sucked, and we see what's going to happen. Well, now the foot soldiers are going to get to work.
Yep.
Yeah, as terrifying as that is, Jake, I don't think you're wrong. Thank you so much for calling and thank you for listening. It's not good, no matter how you look at it. And if you just want an idea about not good it is, check out Mark Pocan on Twitter, and he commented on the anniversary of January 6th. Look at some of the comments Mark Pocan's post. It's astonishing.
Yeah,
they still believe Nancy Pelosi was behind it. The FBI was behind it. There were Antifa plants and all of that stuff.
Just,
someone also said, though, texting in, you can't argue with those people.
No, you can't.
You cannot argue
no, you
with
cannot.
Those people.
No.
We have news coming up next. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Maher on air, coming to you across the vast statewide, countrywide. Yes, we're global on the app. Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulotz. The holiday expenses may be looming on the credit card bill, or perhaps the bank balance is a little lighter from the extra gifts exchanged with family and friends. If this is the year to reduce debt and bump up savings account, revisiting prior financial goals is not a bad idea. Fluctuations in the economy continue to affect many households. People are reassessing retirement timelines, considering where and how they live, and assessing future personal goals in the face of the new variants. Several federal financial programs have ended, and employment opportunities have varied from one sector to another. As consumers look ahead to the new year, having stable financial footing may become necessary to meet day-to-day needs. When thinking about current finances and sticking to a New Year's resolution, consider these tips from the Better Business Bureau. Set clear financial goals, like building an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for a vacation or retirement. Inventory your credit cards. Credit cards have high interest rates, which can waste much money over time. Reach out to the credit card company to see if a balance transfer offer can be used to switch to a card with a lower rate, or ask if the interest rate can be lowered. If you have multiple cards, decide which debt-paying strategy is best for you. Some experts recommend paying off cards with the highest interest rates first. Others recommend paying off cards with the smallest balances first. Revisit subscriptions and memberships. Review all recurring payments and cancel any services no longer needed. Plan for large expenses and potential major purchases or expenses. Start budgeting. Creating a written budget and tracking spending is one of the best ways to save money and stop spending more than what is earned. For more information, contact the Wisconsin BBB at bbb.org/Wisconsin. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Mamma Mia, there is a new champ when it comes to stage musical adapted to the big screen. Wicked has been a box office juggernaut since its release in November, and now it's just passed Mamma Mia as the number one musical stage adaptation, according to Puberty.com. The results of the poll apparently sent fans of Mamma Mia into a lather on social media. The friendly competition and debate between the two films should continue as Mamma Mia has a third installment in the works, and the Cynthia Erivo, Ariana Grande-led Wicked will see Chapter 2 hit theaters next November. If you don't like to watch horror films, there is the option to sidestep the blood and creep and just read the script. Deadline's Read the Screenplay series has made the script for the recently released Nosferatu available at Deadline.com. The screenplay was adapted by Robert Eggers, who is also the director. Nosferatu stars Bill Skarsgård and has received rave reviews and is currently in theaters. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, highs in the mid-20s. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low near 10. Back to the mid-20s for your Tuesday. For Wednesday, partly sunny, a high near 19. And we'll drop into the single digits Wednesday night. Thursday, mostly sunny and a high near 26.
It's 18 at our studios.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Earl Ingram.
The Republicans and Donald Trump want to impose tariffs. They say it's going to bring in $2.7 trillion.
That's what they say when they're trying to justify a tax reduction. Those broad tariffs are not good for the average American.
You know, Sandy, I'm not a guy that knows anything about calculus and any of those things, but I do know how to add and subtract. They're adding to the national debt.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we will preview the inauguration of the Wisconsin State Senate and Wisconsin State Assembly and look forward to what's ahead in 2025. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Sweet Cal B. Coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call. You can text. The number is the same. It's 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up after the 11 o'clock news, if you're going to be traveling just across the country and certainly out of the country, there have been some changes that are going to be kicking in, and you need to be aware of it. I think that kind of slipped under the radar a little bit, Greg Bach. Mm-hmm. So I don't want you to have an unpleasant surprise when you're trying to, I don't know, go to England or go, you know, go overseas or go to Mexico, whatever.
Yeah.
We will talk about that after the 11 o'clock news. We'll do a little recap of the Golden Globe Awards that were last night. And we will wrap it all up as we do every day with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the High and Dry edition.
Ooh.
Stick around for that coming up at around 11:51. This broke this morning. Governor Evers announcing he will ask the Wisconsin State Legislature to create a pathway to allow Wisconsin citizens to place laws on the ballot without legislative approval. We have a sound clip, Greg Buck, do we not?
We do have an it's the announcement from Governor Evers about this aspect of the biennium budget. Calvin, can you play the clip?
I'm hopeful that as we ring in a new year in Wisconsin after fair maps, we will see a legislature that's more collaborative, more responsive, and reflects the will of the people of the state. So today I'm announcing, a provision I'll be including in the biennial budget to require the legislature to give the people of Wisconsin a pathway to enshrine the will of the people. It's no secret that since I took office, Republican legislators have repeatedly ignored the will of the people of Wisconsin, a majority of whom support proposals like restoring roll, legalizing and taxing marijuana, among many other issues. Republican lawmakers shouldn't be able to ignore the will of the people and then prevent the people from having a voice when their legislators fail to listen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Tony.
How simple, Jane.
Yeah, that's not, it shouldn't be that hard. Unlike more than 20 other states, more than 20, including Michigan, Illinois, and Ohio, Wisconsinites do not have the power to propose new laws or constitutional amendments through a binding ballot initiative process, which would otherwise enable the people of Wisconsin to enact policy changes through a simple statewide majority vote. Shouldn't we be able to have this?
Yeah, we should. I mean, it's our constitution. I look at it this way. I mean, if we can put constitutional amendments on the ballot all the time, and why can't we put our own and like have our own voice? And the last time we had one of these non-binding was on marijuana, and it was, I think, five counties or five. Like, it wasn't even the entire state. They were doing some weird like test, and of course it was overwhelmingly yes, because the majority of Americans, not just Wisconsinites, want legalization of marijuana. So I think in a representative democracy, we gotta have representatives, but people's voice, as it's been said before, is the voice of God. So boom.
Yeah. Well, you know, guess who has an alternate version of this?
I'm gonna take a guess.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Does he wear a crown?
He does wear a crown.
Does he enjoy movie time snacks?
He likes popcorn.
Does he own a lot of property throughout Wisconsin to make legislation that benefits him and others like him? And also, is it a gigantic hypocrite too?
I would say yes.
I'm going to go with Robin Voss.
You got it. Speaker of the Assembly, Robin Voss, in December, he said he would not support a measure to allow public referendums because voters already get a say when they elect the people who vote on those in the Assembly and the Senate. Quote, I really believe in representative democracy, says Robin Voss. The idea, like in California, where you have dozens of ballot questions and it's literally paid signature gatherers and out-of-state interest trying to influence the process, probably not. I think our system works pretty well, unquote.
Can you read that first part, like the first sentence.
I really believe in representative democracy.
It's basically saying, I'm your parent. You do what I tell you. Because if it was a representative democracy, marijuana would be legal in this state. If it was
red flag laws.
If it was a representative democracy, we'd have a codified abortion law here in the state.
Yes. Yes.
If it was a real, true representative democracy, we'd have a lot of things happening right now that Robin Voss would hate. But he doesn't like a representative democracy. He likes his version of, quote, democracy. And I am not shocked. I am very, 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 very spicy today, Jane.
Okay.
I am tired of Robin Voss. I am tired. His own people of his own party didn't want him anymore. I am tired of this man just sitting here. He is our little Mitch McConnell. You could show him 2 + 2 = 4. He goes, that's not true at all. You don't understand something about math. Math is important. It's actually 6. It's 6. And to not support the fact, not to support the will of the people, to me just shows how much you don't care about democracy. You care about your own power, period. Done.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. That's really well said, Greg. And I've said this from the beginning about the budget. Robin thinks it's his money.
Yeah. Yes.
It's his money, and he knows how best to spend that money, and the will of the people has nothing to do with it, because Robin knows best.
I didn't pull the sound clip up, so I'll just give a very brief overview. The fact that we've talked about this a lot is that many, many municipalities last election did referendums on school budgets to increase their school budgets through tax increase of the property. And the person interviewing him on Upfront said, doesn't this show that municipalities are willing to increase their own property taxes? Doesn't that show that we should probably be putting more money into education? His immediate response, no, that's not what it shows at all. No. I mean, he gets it. Robin's very smart. That's the thing. Robin's an incredibly smart man.
Absolutely.
He's strategically amazing, but he also can just throw up this wall of like, I say whatever I want and I do whatever I want and I'm Robin Voss and I don't have, and there's no repercussions because he's been in office for over 20 years now.
Life is good.
Yeah, life is good when
life is good when you're the popcorn kid.
God, when you are the when you own a popcorn company, when you own property, when you are the assembly speaker, life is amazing. Now let's talk about the lives of people in Wisconsin who could use help. Clean drinking water or hospital access or
Wisconsinites who need help other than, I don't know, Diane Hendricks. One of the richest women in the country.
She's got billions of dollars to protect, Jane, okay? Just because workers want their fair wages, they want their rights, they want to speak up and be represented correctly, you don't understand that their backs need to be crushed and broken because that's what she wants. And that's what the Republican Party wants, too. And there's video to show it. There's video proving this fact.
Oh, yes, absolutely. In addition to statewide referendums, Governor Evers also plans to include funding for childcare, which we must have, affordable housing, mm-hmm. schools, mental and behavioral health, and retaining the state's workforce. And I don't want to hear any more after the next mass shooting that we have that we can't talk about guns because it's too soon, but we need to talk about funding mental health. And that when it comes to actually shelling out the money to fund these programs, the Republicans stop it time and time and time again.
Yeah. And they always have
beyond irritating.
And they always have an excuse. And there's always an excuse. Don't politicize.
It's too soon.
This isn't the right time. This isn't the right time. There's always a reason. But meanwhile, they're perfectly fine with letting people of all ages being murdered in this country. In this state.
Sorry, Greg.
No, I'm spicy and I'm mad.
Spicy today.
I am very spicy. It's infuriating to me that we live in a country where TikTok will possibly be banned sooner than guns. Or I don't want to ban guns. Just some work on guns, period.
Oh, he's not going to ban TikTok.
Not anymore.
Donald Trump is,
not anymore.
Donald Trump is not going to be on TikTok anymore. That was, he was all about that before he got elected.
Yeah.
Now he got elected, and apparently TikTok was a big help to him. So now it's like, no. We like, I like TikTok now. Now TikTok's going to stay.
Yeah.
He's not going to ban TikTok, regardless of whether or not it is a security issue for the United States.
Yeah.
That's not what's important to him.
No, it's not what's right for, made that federal for a moment. We'll come back to Wisconsin. What's right for the people of Wisconsin, whether it's healthcare, childcare, or having our voices heard and telling our leaders, this is what we believe. It's not important to them. Not important to Robin Voss. Not important to Devin Lemahieu. Not important to the GOP in Madison or the representatives in Congress or the Senate of this state. They do not care. They say they do, but they do not. They care about the checks coming in from your Diane Hendrixes, from your U-lines. Oh, that U-line money. That's good money.
Oh, it's a lot of money.
That's good money if you can get it, Jane.
You betcha. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Should Wisconsinites have the ability to get referendums on the ballot? More than 20 other states already do. And don't forget, too, that in some of those states, and I'm thinking about Kansas, and what was another one that recently passed that kind of codified abortion rights?
Wasn't it Virginia? My apologies. You talk. I'll look it up.
But the Republican lawmakers still found a way to go around that.
Yeah.
It's like the voters wanted this on the ballot. The voters voted for this on the ballot. And then when the GOP lawmakers saw it being successful, it's like, well, no, we don't want that. So we need to find another way to go around that yet again.
What's good for thee, but not for me. And
yeah.
Always find a way, a workaround on the rules. I want to hear from somebody who says they don't want them, honestly. Tell me why you don't want a binding referendum ballot measures on our during our elections. And you can't say because we have a representative democracy, because you're the same people who say freedom isn't free.
Governor Evers, remember, called a special session in 2022 to get lawmakers to take up a constitutional amendment that would allow statewide referendums. But surprise, surprise, Republicans rejected it, calling it a desperate political stunt, and then gaveled in and out in a matter of seconds, which is what they're really, really good at.
Oh, yeah. Well, it helps them get to their 10-month vacations faster.
And they're back today.
Oh,
they're swearing in the new members today.
How many hours are they working today?
Hey, if you want to find anybody, at least for the next 2 months, we know where they're going to be.
Yeah, weird. It's very weird. It's all locked doors and dark hallways for the past 10 months. Now they're there, and they're ready to work.
Cindy from Appleton is on the line right before we go to break. Good morning, Cindy. Thank you for joining us. What did you want to say?
Hello. I love Governor Evers' idea. And Robin Voss and Republicans, I don't understand why people don't see through this, because every time there's an election, it seems like more and more people are voting for the right people, right wing people, instead of people that understand this. And I don't get why people don't see through this. It's so obvious that the Republicans, especially Voss, only give a damn about one thing, and that's themselves, just like this idiot that's coming into the office on the 21st. All they care about is themselves. Why do people continue to support this more and more? I don't get it.
But Cindy, I honestly believe that it's access to accurate information. And I think a lot of people, I think there are a certain amount of people who pride themselves on their ignorance and pride themselves on not being well-informed because they don't think they have to. And then the other part of it is, I think it's just lacking access to accurate information. And that is what civic media has been trying to do for the last 2.5 years. We're not giving up. Hopefully you won't give up either. Thank you for listening, Cindy. Really appreciate it. And thank you for calling in. When we return, someone's unhappy about flags. We'll kick that around next. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You don't need to know when one will do. So come on.
News from the center, WRCE.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In November 2022, Michigan voters passed a constitutional amendment enshrining voting protections and expanding ballot access. After the legislature implemented the voters' directive, GOP legislators sued, claiming that only the legislature could make such changes. Proposition 2 mandated 9 days of early voting, protections for voters and election workers from harassment, and a tracking system for absentee ballots. It allowed for the funding of secure drop boxes and the counting of military and overseas ballots if postmarked by Election Day, and several other reforms. Conjuring the independent state legislature theory, which argues that the U.S. Constitution allows only legislatures to control election law, 11 Michigan GOP legislators sued. On December 20th, the Federal Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals affirmed the lower court's denial of the Michigan legislators' claim. But importantly, it did so saying that while the individual legislators had no standing to bring the case, a full legislature could, leaving the door open a crack. The U.S. Supreme Court mostly dismissed the theory in 2023's Moore v. Harper case, but Justices Thomas, Gorsuch, and Alito appear to be all in on the theory. For the moment, the pro-voter reforms in Michigan are safe, but be watching for the independent state legislature theory to pop up again soon. We have the decision at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
And that's going some for the Yankees by gum. Red, white, and blue, I am for you. Honest, you're a grand old flag. You're a grand old flag. You're a high flag.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Mayer on Air. Jane Matt Mayer, Greg Bach, and the Board Lord coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call, you can text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. After the 11 o'clock news, there are some new travel requirements, not just for people who are going to be traveling overseas, but if you're going to be flying within the United States. And with everything in the news lately, it's really easy for people to this stuff to get skipped. Mm-hmm. So we're going to give you a little heads up about some of the things that are changing as we enter this new year of 2025. We're going to talk a little bit about flags and flags flying half staff. The flags are flying at half staff in Wisconsin today. Governor Evers ordered those to fly at half staff to honor former Wisconsin State Senator George Petak. He died on December 24th at the age of 75. Petak, elected to the Racine Unified School District Board in 83, served in a number of positions until 1990. He was elected to the Wisconsin State Senate and represented the 21st Senate District. He won re-election to the Senate in 94. And then served there until 96. He, of course, famously cast the deciding vote to provide funding to build Miller Park, which was very controversial at the time. Mm. And essentially, that ended his political career.
Yeah. Yep. He was gone.
But the flags are flying at half staff in Wisconsin today to honor George Petak. Other flags are flying at half staff around the country to honor former President Jimmy Carter. Mm-hmm. Jimmy Carter's funeral is going to be this Thursday, but the flags are going to fly at half staff, I believe, through the end of this month. And I believe that that is traditional to have them fly at half staff for 30 days.
Yeah, for a president, absolutely. So, and yes, I've seen most, I've only seen one flag not at half staff, and I'm like, like everything's a statement now, where I almost want to be like, hey. Show some respect.
Well, not everyone is happy about these flags flying at half staff to honor former President Jimmy Carter. Want to take a guess who?
Let me guess. Is he a convicted felon?
Yes.
Adjudicated rapist?
Yes.
Rather orange in complexion.
That would be accurate.
45th and 47th President Donald Trump.
Ding, 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 ding.
I'm two for two today.
The most thin-skinned man on the planet is very unhappy that flags will be flying at half staff to honor someone else when he is inaugurated on January 20th. On that platform, Truth, whatever, the incoming president said, quote, "The Democrats are all giddy about our magnificent American flag potentially being at half mast during my inauguration. They think it's so great and are so happy about it because in actuality, they don't love our country. They only think about themselves."
That's repeat, folks. Donald Trump just said that we as Americans only think about ourselves.
Continuing in his post, whining about flags being at half staff to order former President Jimmy Carter. In any event, because of the death of President Carter, the flag may, for the first time ever during an inauguration of a future president, be at half mast. No, it's actually half staff. Half mast would be if you were on a ship. Nobody wants to see this, and no American can be happy about it. Let's see how it plays out. Make America great again.
I think Greg on the live stream said it perfectly. Tough doo-doo, Donnie. There it is. You know,
brief, concise, and to the point. Yeah. I kind of like that.
FCC compliant. Thank you, nice. Greg.
Thank you, Greg. Nicely done. Appreciate that.
I mean, honestly, this is how he had to do it. This is how he had to whine and complain, because he would have lost a lot. Well, who cares? He doesn't care. I was surprised he didn't actually, I don't know what they call it, truth, when you truth on social, about like terrible things about Jimmy Carter, because, you know, there's no true respect anymore. When somebody dies, you're going to, I mean, when Nelson Mandela died, Fox News called him a domestic terrorist. And so I imagine that Donald Trump was going to say something nasty and horrible about Jimmy Carter, and he didn't.
Most likely.
But this is how he's getting his vitriol out now. This is how he's getting – this is his tantrum. This is his little thin-skin, self-involved tantrum.
It's
– completely on brand.
It is completely on brand, and I guess I shouldn't be surprised by this. Am I disappointed by this? Yes.
Yes, because you're the a human with morals.
The man has no grace.
None.
No grace for anyone else. So during a White House press briefing, a reporter asked Jean-Pierre, White House spokesman, quote, "President-elect Trump seemed to take issue with the fact that flags will be flown at half-mast, half-staff at the time of his inauguration, considering the passing of Jimmy Carter. Is that a position the White House would consider reversing or reevaluating?" And she answered, "No." And that was it.
Yeah.
No.
No. Get over it, dude.
I hope there's no capitulation on this, but I think there will be.
I really hope there isn't either. This is just, we're talking about respect here, and we're talking about something that, like, I mean, dude, just write a nice part of your, put a nice part in your speech about him really quick. Honor him. Move on. It's your day anyways.
That's never going to happen.
Nope.
News is coming up next. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Dom Selvia.
Next time, it's Monday, so our favorite Delano Democrat, Harvey Kay, will join us. Plus, it's January 6th. The counting and certification of the electoral vote is scheduled to take place. Tune in, we'll be wild.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Earl Ingram.
The Republicans and Donald Trump want to impose tariffs. They say it's going to bring in $2.7 trillion.
That's what they say when they're trying to justify a tax reduction. Those broad tariffs are not good for the average American.
You know, Sandy, I'm not a guy that knows anything about calculus and any of those things, but I do know how to add and subtract. They're adding to the national debt.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A big announcement from Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, who said minutes ago from Ottawa,
I intend to resign as party leader, as prime minister, after the party selects its next leader through a robust, nationwide, competitive process.
Trudeau has been prime minister since 2015 and Labour Party leader since 2013. His Liberal Party has been trailing the Conservatives badly in most polls. A major winter blast of snow, ice and plunging temperatures has led to at least three deaths and thousands of cars stranded on highways. Hundreds of car accidents were reported in Virginia, Indiana, Kansas and Kentucky, and at least 300,000 customers are without power in several states. Members of Congress are trudging through today the snow to officially tally the votes from the 2024 election. This is the fourth anniversary of the violence that took place at the Capitol in 2020. This is ABC News.
Your news.